Hallelujah. Was made for you, Lord. Glory. Magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I worship and glorify you and magnify you with all my heart. I thank you, Father, that I've been born again. I worship you, Jesus. It's easy to sing these songs when you know what He's done for you. Somebody said, well, God won't gamble, but not really. He won't, but He took a gamble on us. Man was separated through the fall, and there was no way for man to ever go where God was at. There was no way for man to, 1,000 times 10,000 counselings, if man could have got together and said, how can we get to God? How can we buy back our place of inheritance? It couldn't have been done. There was no way for us to produce it. We were just absolutely lost. And He went right to that edge and saw that great void between us and said, I figured it out. Before the foundation of the world, before you ever had this problem, I figured it out. His name is Jesus. You can't come where I'm at, but I can go where you're at. And I'll put myself in a human body and I'll die under the penalty of sin. I'll actually, the Word says He became sin. Somebody said, well, God can't die, but in a certain sense He did. He followed Christ all the way into the grave. Jesus cried out, God. The Holy Spirit left Him. The Word, the Logos, which was entwined with everything He was, made that journey all the way down with Him. And then after He came up, He still didn't have the promise. Even after it was provided, He still didn't have the absolute sworn affidavit that you and I, okay, once you do it, I'll follow you. It's still an elective. That's how much He loved us.
Amen.
God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He said it in the book of Hebrews, it is impossible, just impossible, that these things are the first. The blood of bulls and goats and sprinkling of ashes. He said it cannot cleanse you from an evil conscience, but the blood of Jesus. He said in that sacrifices, in those kinds of things, in those kinds of practices, there is a continual remembrance of sin. Listen, it's not the cross that freed me. It's what happened on the cross. And that blood sprinkled over my conscience. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. Now I've been born again. Hallelujah. 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 You want to talk about your old life, Pastor? What old life are you talking about?
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Could you give me I don't know what you're talking about. That man is dead.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You want to go fishing in there? The blood's done covered that man. He's dead.
Hallelujah.
Paul gave this testimony of himself. Now, either he's lying under the Holy Spirit, and I don't think the Holy Spirit had let him lie. He wrote one place, he said, see that I have wronged no man.
Hallelujah.
Kenneth Copeland one time was reading that and he just spoke out loud because he was so entrenched in it. He said, God, I called him in a lie. He wrote a lie. He said, that man, I know that man carried people to prison and had them executed. He's lying. He wrote his epitaph and wrote a lie about himself. Jesus spoke to him as plain as He'll speak to us. Rebuked him and said, look, that man died on the road to Damascus.
Hallelujah.
Now either you make a clean sweep or you go back and say, well, you can't enter me. Either that man completely died and there's no more left of him. Makes me appreciate the blood more than ever before. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I'm not condemning them. But a lot of people like to celebrate this particular Wednesday. Let me tell you how we'll celebrate it. Not with the ashes sprinkled, but by the pure blood of that which has freed our conscience from dead works. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I praise and glorify you. Bless and praise you, Jesus. But you freed us, Lord, from dead works. Lord, I thank you for all that you've made us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. It's good to see everybody here tonight. Just turn with me to Ephesians. And to chapter 4. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We had a wonderful day Sunday, didn't we? It was just wonderful. We just don't take them for granted, but it's there's just never any down days in Him. Hallelujah. Father, we give you glory for that. Our hope is in Him, and we give all the praise and glory. Would you just stretch your faith this way and pray for me? Father, I love you. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. And Father, I thank you for what you're doing in us and what you're doing through us. So now, take us to that next place in your Spirit by your Word. We thank you that Immokalee is in revival and that there is a great outpouring raging in this place, in this community, in this part of the state, and that Christ is being exemplified in us, built in us, line on line, precept on precept. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I receive their prayers for me, Father. Christ, be glorified in me. Hallelujah. Not my will, thy will be done. Your mind, Jesus. Your mind, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're kind of going right back where we left off last week. And again, I said four, and we will be in four, but we kind of circumvented around chapter 5, verse 14, which says, "Wherefore saith he," or because of these things, he says this, "Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Hallelujah. Let's just stop right there for a moment and kind of go back over some things real quick. Paul is writing this to a New Testament believers. He's not writing it to dead people, and yet he says, "Arise from the dead." And "wherefore saith he" means it's coming out of Old Testament scripture. And he's trying to wake the church up to something that it is either lost or never come to the full realization of. And the scriptures that we'll read coming up to that in just a moment will reemphasize the fact that light wakes you up and darkness puts you to sleep. That's real simple, but nevertheless, it's perfect truth in God's economy and what He's saying in here. And the most important facts, or the most important truth, rather, that we want to look at again tonight and go to another place that we didn't go last week. We'll read a few things that we read last week from the scriptures out of Romans 13 as well. But we want to go over to Colossians and look at some corresponding scriptures as well. But Paul is taking us to the place, and he's basically saying, wake up. Wake up. See, this is what we've talked about last week and times before in the past. whether we realize it or not, there's part of us, even though we're born again, and even though Spirit-filled, and our new nature is on the inside of us that has changed our dead spirit into a spirit of life, and that spirit has light in us, and yet the unrenewed parts of our soul, the unrenewed parts of our mind, somehow is not laying dormant. It's trying to supersede or invade or rule over the parts of us that attest to and say, yes, this word is true. And Paul is saying, church, you've got to wake up so that the reality of what you're saying and what you're believing. See, I can say that I believe this word, and I do, but when it becomes, when I become so full of light, that light begins to set off an alarm clock on the inside of me that really wakes me up from dormant places that I can't even, I don't even realize that are there until the light shines itself on those areas and illuminates me. So that the name of Jesus, what I say it under the skies or the emphasis that I have in authority today will not even resemble if I continue being changed from glory to glory and the light keeps coming on the inside and waking me up, waking up that spirit man to the place where it resembles everything that Christ is in me. See, that's what we're after. We want to bear His image and be renewed to the image of the One that has created us. That's what we're after. So that today when I say the name of Jesus, I'm getting some results in my prayers, in my speaking of authority. But Christ in me wants to renew my mind and my senses and wake me up. And there's a surefire trail here. I mean, there's a surefire emphasis on certain parts of your life that'll wake you up quicker than anything else. And that's what we discussed last week, and that's what we want to look at a little bit further this week. So that when I step up and I say Jesus, it's not laying in a dormant place. The word Jesus can only be spoken one way. Jesus. And yet, when everything inside of you has come alive to everything that He is, then something on the inside of you is backed up with the image of the authority of what you're speaking. That image is coming out. Hallelujah. Case in point, I'll tell you this, and this is no glory to myself. In fact, when He spoke to me about it afterwards, a little bit later, He included you in on this. And I'm glad He did, because that makes me feel that I'm really, makes me feel safe about what I'm hearing. That when Sunday, when my sister-in-law was under duress here in the front, and I've only had this happen to me a few times, and it used to be that it happened more under the emphasis of the gift of faith. Now, real quickly, the gift of faith is that it's one of those gifts of the Spirit that's listed in 1 Corinthians, and it's really the God just dropping His faith on you. So it just kind of supersedes all your faith, takes you into another realm, and now you're seeing things through God's eyes, and there's just absolutely no room for doubt. I mean, there's not even a question. And so when she came up and said to me, I'm under horrible pain, she had had neck surgery last year. They actually removed some disc or something and put some synthetic fillers in there. She had had a rotator cuff that was messed up and it had been operated on, I think, and a lot of different things in that upper neck and shoulder area. And she was under excruciating pain. I just listened and finished that song out in worship. And then if you were part of what was going on here, when I stepped down, there was no theatrics to it, but I said something like this, just watch. I said, just watch, please. I wanted every eye to watch what was about to happen. And at that point, I don't know that it would have really mattered what was on me. I don't know if it would have mattered if it would have been blind eyes or a leg or whatever. It was a certainty that I really wanted you to watch what was about to happen. And when I laid my hands on her, instantly, if you were here, you knew that instantly she got a total healing in her body. It was amazing. The thing that I was blessed of more than, I mean, I enjoyed her healing and I enjoyed the miracle that took place. But when I step back, I'm always listening to what his commentary is about what's going on. I recognized it as a gift of faith in part, but I was hoping that it was something else. And I'll explain that in a moment. I can remember a few times there was a woman right here that was going into a diabetic seizure. I don't know, I can't remember what her blood count was, but she was already starting to pass out. Her eyes would roll back in her head. And I stepped up, and again, I just said, this is just what I saw and heard. I said, please just, everybody, don't touch her. And I said, right now. And just like instantly, she changed. She come back to herself. I think she went back and checked her sugar or something. They said it's all normal now. Within just, you know, like, what's that? It was over 500 sitting up there, and her eyes were rolling back, and I mean, she was going. Six? Yeah. So, that was a gift of faith. This was a kind of a gift of faith. The only thing is that was different was that when I stepped up here, he began to talk to me about it, and I was like, okay, God, I appreciate the gift of faith. The only thing is, gift of faith is really, and I'm just kind of listening to him as he's teaching tonight, because I think I know where he's wanting to go, but I'm just going to let him do this. Gift of faith is really subpar to what we're asking him for. Gift of faith is really as he wills. Revival is as we will in him. And the Lord said, he told me this, and it was really wonderful. He said, you're dealing on two parts. He said, you're dealing partially on a gift of faith, but he said, I don't know how he said it verbatim, but he included you on it. He said, you've come in your authority to a lot of what just happened was not just the gift of faith, it's the actual place where you've come to. And that's more exciting than a gift of faith. Because the Corinthians were having to be gifted in part because there was schisms in the body, and the Holy Spirit was having to come, and he was moving this and moving that and moving there. Revival is not gift of faith. Revival is like a waiter with a fine dress waiter with a menu, and he's come to your table, and you bring the sick in, and he says, okay, now, you know, what do you need here? Oh, you need this. We've got that. We've got the Luke 14 table, blind see, lame walk. Do I have to sit here and wait for the gift? No, the gift is in me because of the character that I'm walking in, and it's because light has come to the place that now, even beyond my academics, intellectual academics, the name of Jesus spells out inside of me far more than when I said Jesus 5 years ago, it meant something to me. I still had him in full adoration, but now waking up on the inside, Jesus spells out something inside of me with all authority that words cannot explain. It spells out something on the inside of you that you're waking up to. And he says, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. But coming up to that verse, actually, let me find my place. I lost it in my menu here. Look at verse 8 of chapter 5. He says, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now you're in light. You're the light of the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. In other words, if there's ever going to be any reproving or change process inside of you, that, now again, remind yourself that he's talking to Christians here. He's saying to the Christians, wake up. And what's going to wake you up is light. Because darkness had you asleep, and that's who you once were, but this is who you are in Christ, that as you employ the light and the light comes on, you're continually in a place of your spirit waking up to the image of who Christ is in you. Hallelujah. So he says here, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved that are approved are manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So that's truth. We know that's truth. And this is what we want to look at. What truths? Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the times, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And he goes on to say, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but filled with the Spirit. And he tells you how to do that. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual song. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now, look at chapter 4. Look at verse 17, he says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. How many of you know that 4 comes before 5? And if he's over in 5, like we said last week, saying, wake up, and Christ shall give thee light, come to your full inheritance, then in 4, he's preceding that with everything that wakes you up. He's giving you the essence of everything that wakes you up. He says in verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Well, let me back up, because I skipped something. 19, he says, who being in past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Now that's blindness. That's being asleep. In fact, analgesic, the English word analgesic, where we get anesthesia, is the same. It's the one word that fills in who being in past feeling, meaning when you were asleep, you were under the anesthesia of darkness and you didn't even know it. But that's not how you are now. You're in light, and the more you let light come in, the more you'll continue to be in a process of waking up. Hallelujah. See, how many of you want the name of Jesus? This is just one example. How many of you want the name of Jesus to mean more to you as in authority a year from now than it does right now? Your results. And what can you equivocate that to? What can you say? Okay, I love him. I worship him. Jesus, you're Lord. Yes. But as light comes on the inside, something of who he is begins to manifest. Well, I want to know how to get there. And of course, we continue to, we give you the academics, and you know them, praying in tongues, worship, word, meditation. Those are those nuts and bolts of the academics of what changes you on the inside. But in these three different portions of scriptures that we're about to look at, if you learn what the Holy Spirit is trying to do when you're praying in tongues, it will help you lean into and accept His purging instead of resist it. And the light will come on that much faster. As long as you think that He's wanting to produce in you a worldwide ministry, or as long as you think that He's wanting to give you something of significance or change and do something on a big scale, you miss it. But when you understand when you're praying in tongues and He begins to work in some of these areas and you think, why is this coming up? And then you begin to realize what His Word says. Oh, this is light. This continual praying in tongues, it is changing me, but how is it changing me? And if I know how it's changing me, then when I get to that point, instead of resisting it, I'll lean into it. Okay, and say, okay, cloak is off, darkness is off, change me. Hallelujah. And put off, he says, again, I love that word, who being in past feeling. It means to feel no pain or to grow or to become insensitive. It's synonymous with the word to become calloused. A callous, to be something there that's not on my hands anymore. The girls used to say, Daddy, you had calloused hands when you were laying blocks. Now, I'm still pretty tough. I mean, don't throw me down because I don't go down real quick, but my hands aren't calloused anymore. I am in the Spirit. That's the main place, Candies. Amen. But here's where the Holy Spirit wants to take us. He says this, verse 20, you've not learned, but you've not so learned Christ or learned of Christ. If so be that you've heard Him. Now, it doesn't say that if you've heard about Him or it's been preached to you. It's talking about that ongoing fellowship that you have with Him so that He teaches you, that you hear from Him, and that you've been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. And so you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And he continues to say what he said again. Put off or put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speaking every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And look at this. And this is where he goes in to everything he's about to say in 5. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. What can grieve Him? This is what grieves Him. Let all bitterness and wrath, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice. See, this is what puts the church to sleep. This is the sleeping pill. That they're walking in no power, and they don't even know they're not. I mean, they if Jesus came in and the Holy Spirit showed up in their services, they wouldn't even know He was there. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying they're so asleep, and what has put them to sleep is the same thing that abhorring those things and turning away from them. The more when you pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit begins to work those things inside of you, everything that you do to lean into that begins to wake your born-again spirit up. Hallelujah. Takes you to the next level. Hallelujah. wrath. The word, in verse 29, I'll back up, it says, let no corrupt communication. Corrupt means rotten. That really spells it out, doesn't it? Don't let any rotten, it has no fruit, it has no power to produce. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath. Wrath there is, actually the Greek says, as if breathing hard. That doesn't make much sense, but it does. When something on the inside begins to make you angry, the phone conversation goes from, if you had a heart monitor on, and guess what? You do that very much, you're not waking up, you're going to sleep. Hallelujah. Verse 32, and it says, be kind one to another. Verse 31, I'm getting past some good stuff here. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, bitterness means the opposite of sweet. That's a real intellectual discourse. That's how we're supposed to be in the church. I was standing in a grove with Gary yesterday, and he had some specialty fruit, about 20 or 30 acres he grows behind his house, and I said, man, I'd like some of that good stuff, you know, and we were picking. Matt knows all these kind of all that fruit, but I think it was murkots or something. He goes, this they call them the honey, and the cold has got them like sweet as sugar. And man, I was eating them and then putting them in the sack, you know. And then of course he's got like 30 varieties or something down there of different stuff. Well, he's walking on down, and the trees look pretty much the same, but I notice he's cutting, I'm peeling, I'm eating, and he bites into something that he spews out of his mouth. And he said, God, I wish I'd have been brave enough to eat this and let you eat one of them, thinking this is going to be really good. He said, it's so bitter. And I'm thinking about, God, that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be sweet. This is what he says here. He said, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. Do you know when a callus, the opposite of a callus, when it gets there, and that's because people try to defend, we carry over from the world. This is what he's trying to say. You got to wake up, but the only way you can wake up is you lean into these purging processes of the Holy Spirit. This is when you'll know. Can I have a sign? What, am I waking up? Am I getting in? Is this thing getting any clearer to me? Is the smelling salts are they coming? Am I waking up? Because I'm in a dream. Otherwise, I live out my Christianity powerless and keep wondering what's. Why is this not working? The way that I can tell, the way that you can tell, is if you begin to see your heart becoming more tender and the calluses coming off. Because when the heart's not tender, the miscommunication is this. You don't know how. It's real hard. You ever had a need and been talking to somebody and you're not trying to propagate what you're going through, but you know they're telling you something and you might have just told them, yeah, my mom died yesterday and my daddy cut his leg off and my big sister committed suicide, but they're so into what has covered up their life, that the tenderness that they should respond to you with. Now, that's way over dramatization, but they can't hear what you're trying to tell them. Even the things that you're trying to communicate to them, they can't tell because their heart, there's something on this, part of their heart might be pure, but part of their heart is hardened by bitterness, the things that they have not let go of yet, so that they cannot hear the tenderness of the Holy Spirit that needs to be circumventing in the church, to where that we weep with those who weep, we mourn with those who mourn, and when we hear them speaking, that we're, it basically really is saying here, be of a real sensitive heart. Hear and read between the lines. Wait a minute. They're hurting. And the only way that you can know they're hurting sometimes is listen with the inner man, and the tenderness by which you respond and the tenderness which the Holy Spirit's trying to wake you up. Listen, none of us have arrived, but here's the sign. Are we waking up? How tender our hearts getting one towards another. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be able to know that at least we can look and say, God, is there a place where we're supposed to be? And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sakes, has forgiven you. Hallelujah. Romans 13, let's turn there, because these are the same scriptures, yet written just a little bit different. Look at verse 8. He says, owe man nothing, or owe no man anything, rather, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, not kill, steal, bear false witness, not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Sounds just like Ephesians. Wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, or not in strife, envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions to fulfill the lust thereof. Hallelujah. I want to learn how to put him on. Okay. How do I put him on? It seems by at least these two that we're finding tremendous foundational evidence that of everything that he could possibly say to us about coming to our own as a New Testament church is that the most important factor for him to be getting his image over to us is everything that we adhere to in love and in tenderness. And in tenderheartedness, one towards another, not grieving the Holy Spirit, primarily was founded in this. What I say, what I speak, my disposition concerning you and yours to me. Hallelujah. Now let's look at one other. Let's look at Colossians. Hallelujah. How many of you love Jesus? You guys are great. Colossians, I know it's in here, chapter 3, because I want to close with really spelling this out. I'll give you the witness of three different places, back up what I'm saying about us waking up. And this is a place where we didn't go to last week. Look at Colossians 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth, for ye are what? Dead. And your life is hid with... See, that boy, if there's anything that we need to take as a positional truth and really continue to say, I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. That's an easy one to say, isn't it? For you to say. Covetousness, which is adultery. Which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes in the past, when ye lived in them. But now, ye also put off these things, anger. Okay, didn't we just hear this? Didn't we just read this? Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed. Now watch this. Now this is vitally important. And this just absolutely spells out everything that we've been saying with another verse of the same. Okay, how do I wake up? Okay, it's getting clear to me. It mostly has something to do with love. Okay, I know I'm not stranded out here. I think one of the greatest things on this walk is that the academics are this. I first, no matter what, here's a great mystery. No matter what, you have to decide. You're the deciding factor. I have to will it. I have to put on. He says this is why he continues to say, put off, put on. I have to choose. See, I'm sitting. It can be offered to me. Here's grace. Here's strength for your weakness. If you pray in tongues, if you fast, if you meditate the Word, confess the Word, if you worship, if you do all these things, grace will begin to circumvent itself around your life. But I'm sitting here as the deciding factor. And here's the great mystery, and here's kind of the scary part. It can be offered to me. It can even employ my will, like the Holy Spirit can woo me and say, I'm convincing you of this. See how it'll help you? But I still have to be the one who say, okay, I will. I will put off, or I will put on. And when I put off and put on, then I am allowing Him through access of whatever academics that you're employing, whether it's worship, praying in tongues, fasting, meditation of the Word, all those kind of things, they're taking me to the light. But what He continues to bring out in that light is not saving the world, or not forgiving Mr. Obama, which that's part of it, or not forgiving the Senate or the House or somebody. But where He starts out, where He starts on a molecular level right down, is He starts right in here. Now, as I'm pointing to my wife, right in here I'm pointing to my daughter. And He's really not concerned about saving the world through you until all this gets right inside of you. And when brings light to me of how that me and her, or her and me, or anybody else that's on this branch chain that's closest to me, that I begin to allow that light to heal me and to heal them, then He begins to tsunami Himself out and work Himself out, and the putting off and the putting on and everything that's light begins to cause me to see Him in the image of who He is. I begin to wake up and say, cameras, hey, bring that over here, because light has circumvented itself inside of me without question and without me dotting the I's or crossing the T's. We look at these things and say, in Jesus' name, come up. And I mean, there's not even a snowball's chance when you're feeling that. Glory be to God. Now, this is what He says. In verse 10, He says, and have put on the new man. This is my choice. Now, how do I do this? How do I put on the new man? How do I wake up? This new man, which is renewed, it is renewed in, how is it renewed? The word renewed there means, it means renovated. It is the Greek word renovated. Now, we're not talking about, we're talking about a born again, but this born again, spirit-filled man is going through a process that when Paul came into the kingdom, he was not the Paul that left 40 years later in Nero's courtyard. He was a man filled with authority, filled with anointing, filled with more of Christ in him. He said, if by any means, Philippians 3, that I might attain unto the out resurrection. Not, I hope I wake up in heaven one day. He said, I'm living my life that everything in me wakes up to who Christ is in me. So that the out resurrection is this. I'm living out my life, but it's not my life, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Nobody arrived. He didn't arrive, but yet he had this testimony. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me, and not only for me, but for every single one of you that follow this example. Hallelujah. Now, how do I, God, how do I get there? He said this, the renovation and having put on the new man, which is renovated in knowledge. It's in knowledge. The word knowledge means there, it is the word recognition. If I recognize what Christ is and what He's trying to do in me, then there's a continual renovation that's taking place, He says, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. How many are glad that we've been created after Jesus Christ? It's His image. Where there is neither Greek, Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond free, but Christ is all in all. And look what He says. This is what you're renovated to. This is what you're renewed to. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Here's my renovation. See, it's the best way to do this. Pablo, come here, buddy. We'll use Pablo as Jesus. I think you'll make a good one, don't you? Okay, stand right here. I don't know exactly where I'm going with this. Let's say Pablo is he's Christ. I want to be renewed to Him. He's the image. I'm desiring light. I'm desiring light to continually come on in my life. The Word says here in verse 10, He says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created. The knowledge is the thing, my recognition, my continual recognition of who He is and what He's about is continually renewing me. It's continually taking me from glory to glory. If I'm over on this side of Pablo or Christ, and I am doing those things which are contrary to every single one of these things that we just read, then I'm still His. But there's a lethargy, there's a dormancy, there's something that I don't even recognize about my walk because it's putting me to sleep. When I'm over here on this side and I'm doing these things where it says forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection or perfectness. Hallelujah. See, I'm over here, and I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But I'm saying, what catapults the church into revival? What changes us as a body from going to glory to glory? What changes us as a home? What changes us as a marriage? What changes me as a man? The thing that I know this by Colossians, Romans, Ephesians, is when the Holy Spirit visits me, He's got primarily one thing on His mind. And that primary thing is He wants to change me into that man, Christ's image. And what He continually presents to me is this: the love walk of Christ. Everything is contained, He said in Romans, primarily the whole law is contained in this: love one another. And everything that is in my spectrum of influence, my kids, my wife, and then it goes to you and to my family and on and on and on, what He's going to continually do, the way He said, I get renewed in knowledge. What knowledge? This is the knowledge. What knowledge? These things right here. These are the things that we put on. He says, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. See, I don't, even when I know I'm right or maybe think I'm right, I don't have to prove that. Thank you. I don't have to have the last word. Okay, if you need to get the last word, and if it'll settle it and make me and you go fishing together, get the last word, fine. And we won't talk about it no more. That's fine. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. What does that mean? It means to suffer a long time. It really just means put up with for a long time. Well, you know, Pastor, I'll tell you, if they don't change, what's your advice? Keep putting up with it. But go to God with it. And guess what He's going to say? He's going to teach you something about yourself that's going to cause you to die more to affect the change in them. Hallelujah. Praise God. How you doing up there, Paula? He's good. He's a good-looking Lord, isn't He? Hallelujah. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. See, that's that tender-heartedness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, so this is in the church. This is, you know, where we're like, oh, Pastor, we're way past all this. You know, I don't know of any schisms. I don't really want to know. The only thing is, I know this, between here and revival, we better understand this. This is the making of revival. This is the foundation of revival. This is it. We can get past any devil that'll ever be sent past us or sent to us if this image continues to be made manifest in us. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. Thank you, Pablo. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Well, how many of you love Jesus? How many of you love your pastor? How many of you love Homer? Amen. All right. We're good to go then. Jesus, in Matthew 19, Peter asked Him, you know, what do we get out of all this? You know, have you ever thought about that? What do I get out of all this? You know, I'm just like, what is this all about? You know, I'm going to this church. I'm getting, you know, I'm hearing this guy continually talk about prayer. And, you know, I can understand why some people don't like me sometimes. And Peter said, what do we get out of all this? I mean, what's in it for me? And Jesus said, well, for you 12, you'll sit on 12 thrones and you'll judge the tribes of Israel. But, He said, for everybody that has forsaken or done anything to give their entire life over to the kingdom, that in this life they'll have 100-fold. And, of course, that has been so misconstrued. That 100-fold father, mother, Yeah, he didn't say a hundredfold wife. That's one thing you didn't get. He said you'll get all this with prepositional phrase, with persecution. That's going to come along with it. But you'll get this family, and you're my family. Hallelujah. But in the life to come, you'll get everlasting life, and that's where the reward comes in. But he said, he starts out there and he says, the first shall be last. Since Peter, since you're asking about it, let me give you an example. And then, of course, he goes into the vineyard where he said this man went out and he went out to hire. He went out early in the morning. Then he went out to the third, sixth, ninth, and 12th hour of the, or 11th hour of the day, which is crack of dawn, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 11th hour is 5 o'clock. And he talked about how at the end of the day, all these people that worked, he said, call them in and pay them off, beginning from the last to the first. And he specifically knew what he was talking about, saying give it to the last. Because when he went to the first, now that's the one part he's talking about, the chronological order. The rest of it, chronologically, time event, it's not the essence. He made those guys that started at 6 o'clock in the morning wait and get paid and watch everybody get paid the same amount. But he wasn't punishing them. Because at the end of that parable, he says, the last shall be first. And the whole story behind that, the whole essence was this. If you lose yourself somewhere in the day, and the day is a lifetime. The day is a lifetime. The vineyard is this kingdom that we're working in. And if you lose your life in it and say, you know what? I started out with my ambition life, wanting to have several houses and several cars, and I wanted to be able to see all of the world, and I wanted this and I wanted that, and golly, what happened to me? Am I crazy or what? I mean, somebody pinch me. Have I lost my manhood or what? Because somewhere in that, all those ambitions, it's not wrong to have those things. I'm not preaching that. I'm just saying the thought process is this. It's not what's in it for me. It's what's in it for Him. Because that one day He's going to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And when you every once in a while get those little shocking things like, God, you know, life's marching on. We're getting older, and I should be thinking about putting this away for retirement, or putting that away, or putting. And you just keep marching, and it really don't matter to you. And you know, if you get to be 70 or 80, He's going to still be right there. And you're working in His vineyard, and you're not looking up. You just got your head down, not slumped in shame. But you're just trimming them grapes and harvesting them grapes, and you're just going right on down the row, and you're just like, every once in a while, the world will tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, can you come out here and talk for a little bit? And you're just like, I don't have time for you. Because as it is, I'm lost in the harvest. Hallelujah. And that's the biggest bunch of you here. I appreciate your giving. You're finding ways to give in difficult times. And everything is faith right now. And I understand that. And I really, 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 really appreciate it more than anything else He does. There's two ways to give. One, you hear from Him. And He specifically says the other way is, the Word says, let a man give according as he purposes in his own heart. So both of them are by faith. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. Melody, are you the lady that... Or who's got the buckets? Wonderful, Ralph. You're not a lady, but you've got the buckets. Why don't you bow your hearts in prayer? Father, I thank You that we get this elective. It's no man can make us do this, not even You. We get to choose to make ourselves last, so that we come in first. For many are called, but few are chosen. I get the privilege, along with these men and women in this life, to make my life chosen by You. That at the end of this vineyard, at the end of the day, and when we draw our last breaths, or You come back and receive us into Your fullness, Lord, we will have known this. We lost ourselves in the day. We lost all consciousness of where we were at. We kept working. We kept working until all was done. Lord, bless these. Give them the mind of Christ and guide us in these things. Bless now this time of giving in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you as you give this evening.